Our text here tonight brings us to consider this woman who is virtuous. She is full of energy, she is upright, and she does her husband good. She makes life increase for him. She does not subtract, she adds. She is not a burden, but a blessing. Now, marriage is God's arithmetic. They multiply their joys by sharing them, and they lessen their burdens by dividing them.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're coming up close to Mother's Day, and we want to just give a word of encouragement to mothers and a word of thank you for all that they do as they serve the Lord in our homes, our families, and do so much that they promote the kingdom of God in a real and practical way. Our message then is on the book of Proverbs, on keeping the law of thy mother. It is an absolute truth that the law of the mother is the strength, the foundation, and will be the commendation of the children in the home. I trust that today's message will be a help, an encouragement, and a blessing to all who tune in. Stay with us as we let the Bible speak. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now today we want to pay tribute to all mothers. There is a very famous little line that says, they say that man is mighty, he governs land and sea, he wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger, man from his throne has hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And on this Mother's Day, I want you to think of these Proverbs. 6 verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. And 20:20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And I think you get the idea that God, speaking through Solomon, gives it a very clear message that only the fool will think little of his mother. There has been a very interesting study by a researcher on teenagers. And the research discovered that young teenagers, probably 13 right up to 16 or so, that they lost their ability to read their parents' facial expressions, to read their solemn moods, to read their joyous moods, to read whenever they approved or disapproved. And that loss of perception put a distance between parents and young teenagers. Now, we learn from that teenagers have problems, and sometimes they misunderstand the whole leadership and guidance of parents. The good news is that at about 17 or maybe 18, that ability returns, and that young children begin to better understand their parents and to grasp even the moods and the expressions that they are, and the messages that they are sending. Now, here in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, God's messenger in this book, is speaking to the young man. And of course, it puts a great emphasis upon the parental and child relationship, the family. And you know the adage, the apple seldom falls far from the tree. There is an expectation that children are going to be like their parents. They're going to be like them because genetically they are made from the same DNA. And there are going to be those physical likenesses. But what parents pass on to their children is much more than just the physical. There is the attitude, the values, the walk with God, and of course their knowledge of truth and righteousness. Now, wise parents will be a great boon to their children. Not just rich parents. There are many rich parents who are very poor at parenting, and their weakness is that they tend to be soft and tend to almost give their children anything that pleases. And they may well raise pompous wasters, those that don't fit in society, and those that lose their skills and disciplines that will make them a benefit in life. And of course, it can start right off at kindergarten when that little 4 or 5 year old starts, and all the things that the mom and dad has trained along the years, or perhaps we should say the things that they have not trained them in, they show up on day one at kindergarten. And of course, in the parents' eyes, my little Johnny can do no wrong. And when teacher complains or someone else complains, they are off, and they could never possibly think ill of my little boy. Well, here today in the book of Proverbs, we have a word for every young person. And I think we have words of wisdom for parents on how to raise our children for God. And I trust that on this Mother's Day, when we want to encourage mothers for the blessing that they are and the difficult task that they have, that the Lord will have a word for your heart and a word for your soul today. So let's look at this text, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And here we see the priority which Solomon, and indeed God speaking through Solomon, gives to obeying parents. How vitally important it is. Now remember, Proverbs 1 verse 7, we had the proverb of all proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, this is second in line. Fearing the Lord leads us to honoring our parents, because God has made that priority. It is the same priority as is given in the Ten Commandments. When God gave the Ten Commandments, the first commandment with promise is to honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so this is reiterated here in Proverbs, and again it's in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2 in the New Testament, and this priority is re-emphasized and it is hammered home over and over again. And so God has decreed the family unit, and I want you to think of the unique hand of providence at work by which he maintains that family unit. Well, we read in Ephesians 5 that a young man is to leave his mother and father and he is to cleave to his wife, and they to be one flesh. There is the new family formed, and that is God's order. In providence, God gives in every nation, in all societies, an equal number of boys and girls. Now, I know in some families it turns out to be all girls, or as in our case, four boys and one girl, and that doesn't seem to be anywhere near equal. But it is quite amazing that over a nation that there is such an equality of boys and girls that are born into the world. If there was not the guiding hand of an all-wise creator, we could have a lopsided affair. And of course, when men start tampering with abortion and one-child policies and so on, they end up disturbing the balance, the equality of male and female. And in various countries where abortion has been practiced at a high, high rate, this has become a major problem. And if we just let God have his way, he knows what he is doing. The other act in providence that God has given the family unit is the weakness of childhood years and the weakness of old age. And in the family unit, God has the answer. When a young calf is born, maybe a dairy cow has a baby calf, within minutes, it's on its feet. It can nurture and feed itself on its mother, and it can run alongside within a very short time. So it is rapidly growing into independence. When children are born into our homes, we are into an 18-year cycle of care through all the needs and phases of life, from infancy of total helplessness until the toddler stage when they're learning to walk, and then getting to school and education, teenage years, right up to those years when they may be seeking their own partner in life and establishing their own home. And in all of that, they need the guidance, the care of mother and father. In the Bible, for the patriarchs of the Bible, to have children was the mark of riches. And when God opened the womb and blessed with children, that was considered the hand of God, the blessing of God. We read earlier of Hannah, and we know that for a time that she was childless, and when she prayed and God gave her a child, she had great reason to praise the Lord. And so for all these reasons, we see the family unit being God's way, and God gives it priority. And when that is disrupted, when someone tunes out of the family unit, when young people despise the instruction of their father or mother, become rebellious, the prodigal in the home, well, it leads to all kinds of problems and of issues. I think from this pulpit I've told before the story of the man who was caring for an elderly father. And when the father was at the table, of course, he was unable to feed himself very well. He spilt his food, he drooled, and they just put him back in the corner, gave him a wooden bowl, and let him eat alone. One day, the children were out around the home, and they were working, whittling at wood. And the father came to them and said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We are making a wooden bowl, because Dad, one day you're going to need a wooden bowl." And it sank in that how we treat our parents may well rebound upon ourselves. And so God has given us very clear guidance and very firm instruction of maintaining that family unit at every stage of life. I have some notes here on Marxism and communism and the experiments that they did in Russia, Eastern Europe, and how they took children away from their parents, put them in orphanages, raised them, and very often their elite SS, the elite police were used from those children. Their consciences were hardened. They were like steel, and they were bloody, murderous, and hardened people that served the state and were taken away from their parents. And so the church should be at the foremost for preserving the family unit, to encourage mother and father and children to walk together, live together in building one another up as they seek to live for God. Now we come secondly to the humility that is required to honor parents. To be in submission to parents is to recognize a few things. Back here in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. To obey that requires humility, and it requires submission. And the thing to remember is that in life, God has put your parents in his place. They are his vice regents. You are answerable to your parents as if you were answerable to God. Now, under the law of the Old Testament, when a son or a daughter rebelled to the point that they no longer heeded their parents, they were to be brought by the parents and by the elders to hear their case. And when those children were guilty of insubordination to parents and in a rebellious manner, they were to be taken out publicly, stoned. They were put to death. You can read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 21, 18 to 21. And it was a process that was followed when children became unmanageable in the home, heedless of parents. They were taken to the judges to be stoned publicly. Can you imagine the message that would send in society? Can you think of how parents would have that means of curtailing the rebellious ways of children? And I'm sure that any young person here today is very glad that you're not living under that Deuteronomy law today, and that you are in danger of such stoning. But what it does teach you, that it is God's will that you take the counsel, take the advice, the guidance of your parents. They are to be feared. They are to be reverenced because they are in the place of God in your young life. Now, this falls out in many ways. Parents are in the place of God to care for their children in their days of infancy. It is the parents' responsibility to provide all the necessities of life: food, warmth, guidance, safety, all of those things that are needed that they might develop. And just as they are responsible for providing the necessities of life, they are also responsible for your soul also, that you might hear his word, hear the gospel, and be brought to a good spiritual understanding of the Lord. Because they are God's beacons to warn you of the dangers that are in this world. This world is not a safe place. This world is a place of anarchy. It's a place of corruption. It's a place of defilement. And it becomes the burden of parents to direct and guide you in the right direction. And so in this way, parents are God's gifts to guide their children. Now note something here in the text. It says in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." A godly mother, a mother of the Bible, will have clear laws in the home. They become consistent rules of the home, and they keep them for blessing. And children break them at their peril. This is a mother to be feared. And of course, there are consequences for dishonor. In the home where I was staying this week, during the 5 days, 4 nights I was lodging, I was staying in a home, a member in our Greenville church, and Mrs. Pinkston told me about her grandmother. She was a strong German woman, and some teacher, she herself is a music teacher and moves in those circles, and teachers were complaining that today it takes 3 people to look after children in a class situation. It takes a teacher, an aide, and perhaps another helper of any sizable class. There was a day when single room schools had up to 50 children and one teacher. Of all ages, how did they do it? And the answer was mothers. Mothers that have a firm grip of the home, of the hearts of the children, with firm laws, with consequences, they are trained to behave, to learn, to obey. And it has been well known in educator circles that where children do not obey, it so often is traced back to the mother in the home. Now, moms, I'm not laying a guilt trip on you. You are the one that can answer this one, but so much depends upon your training, upon the law of the mother. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're coming just to a few quotes on the presence and the power of the Lord our God. Giving sacrificially is one of the marks of a man who loves and honors God. There was a man who boasted that religion had been to him a very cheap thing, costing him only a few cents a year. The good man said to him, "The Lord have mercy on your little stingy soul. If a man has no more religion than that, if he has not a religion that will make him generous, he has no religion at all." A merchant in America had devoted a large part of his money for the maintenance of the cause of Christ. And one said to him, "What a sacrifice you make every year." Said he, "Not so, I have a clerk. Suppose I give that clerk £50 to pay a schoolmaster, and when he goes to the schoolmaster, he should say, 'Here is your salary.' What a sacrifice it is to me to give you that. Why? The schoolmaster would say, Sir, it is not yours. It is no sacrifice at all to you. So said this good man, I gave up all when I came to God. I became his steward, and no longer head of the firm. I made God the head of the firm. And now, when I distribute my wealth, I only distribute it as his trustee, and it is no sacrifice at all. If we talk of sacrifices, we make a mistake. Then, to give God the glory, to whom be glory forever, 2 Timothy 4:18. This should be the single desire of the Christian. I take it that he should not have 20 wishes, but only one. He may desire to see his family brought up well, but only that to God may be glory forever. He may wish for prosperity in business, but only so far as it may help him to promote this. To whom be glory forever. He may desire to attain more gifts and more graces, but it should only be that to him may be glory forever. This one thing I know, Christian, you are not acting as you ought to do when you are moved by any other motive than the one motive of your Lord's glory. Oh, this is our exaltation. This is our joy, our triumph, our blessedness. If we can but promote his glory, the place where we can best promote it shall be our heaven. The sick bed, the hospital, or the poor house shall be our heaven. If we can there best serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory. If I might have but one prayer, it would be, O God, glorify thyself in thine own church and in the salvation of men. Let us make that our prayer. And in this new year, let us recognize who God is, that he desires and deserves our service and our worship. And let our every energy, strength, and portion be to bring glory to the God whom we love and serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who saved us. Now may the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Stay tuned for these final few announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.